Martin Keaveney Creative Writing. Creative Writing, Intermediate by Remote. Week 8. Presented by Martin Keaveney.
Good evening, and you're all very welcome to the final week, week 8, of your Creative Writing Intermediate Remote course. Yes, the final session. Well done on getting to this stage. So this is, as I usually say, an audio recording of the tutorial section of the course prepared for those of you who cannot attend the live video conference or may wish to listen back to points covered in it. You will already have received an email containing the PowerPoint presentation package, which contains all of the slides I'll be discussing over the next hour or so. So what I want you to do now is check your email if you like, if you haven't already done so, and download the file named Week 8 that I sent you. You can pause the audio while you do this if you like. Okay, so you should now be looking at the first slide on the presentation. You'll see the date and the title and yes, the window world. And I just picked out an image there which tells a humorous story. Just to remind you, if you have any questions about any aspect of the course, don't hesitate to email me at info@martinkeaveney.com. Delighted to hear from you. Please click now to slide 2. So tonight in this particular podcast, we're going to just be discussing the comic strip because in the live class, we'll be having final project readings. So on slide 3 there, firstly, I have a definition from a translated book by Thierry Gronstein, with a title which gives an incredibly rich background to the writing of comic strips. He says that the definition of the medium is, and he's says that I've taken to quoting the definition proposed by Ann Miller. As a visual and narrative art, comics produce meaning out of images which are in a sequential relationship and which coexist with each other spatially with or without text. An eminently balanced and sensible definition, he says, which I have written applies perfectly to the great majority of work produced up until now. So essentially what it is a sequence of images or even an image which can create a story, which tells us a story through pictures and some text as well. But I suppose the key thing with comics is that the image is equally as important in telling the story, or if not more important, than it would be, for example, as I mentioned in the live class, an illustrated story. Like, for example, I've got a Sherlock Holmes book here with a lot of images of Sherlock Holmes and Watson discussing cases, but really you could read the story without having the illustrations, whereas in with comics you couldn't have the story without the illustrations. The illustrations are as important, if not more important, in the comic genre. So moving back then to slide 4 there, moving on, sorry, I should say. First, as usual, some little background on the genre, as we can do. It's not a historical class, but just to give you some kind of background on it. Charles Rurick writes that the history of the comic strip goes back long before the 1890s in America, which it apparently, according to Rurick, many people think that's when it kind of emerged. As he says, 17 years ago, this would be David Kunzel now, who I'll talk about in a minute, first made the point by publishing a large volume treating picture stories in European broadsides from about 1450 to 1825. So, yeah, I mean, the picture stories apparently were quite popular long before the late 19th century, when many things kind of emerged, photography and film. Yes, so comic picture stories were something that were quite popular for a few hundred years before that. And yeah, he is talking there about David Kunzel, who is a big name in comic book studies and one we will be hearing more from, as I said, in a moment. So there was an explosion of comic strip writing definitely in the 19th century. But as he says, it has been an explored genre for some centuries in Europe. He tells us that the genre was associated with the uneducated and children had low status in the art world, and it still does today amongst art historians and has consequently been neglected. And I suppose it is natural to think of the genre is somehow associated with children, and maybe it seems a bit strange when we read a graphic novel that's aimed at adults or suitable for adults only, and perhaps the undereducated demographic as well. I suppose it's natural to think that they would be a kind of a consumer of it, considering if you were literate, you could still gain a lot of story understanding from the images in a picture story. And that is also the case, that the illiterate may also be economically challenged. So as he says, as he kind of makes the point here, Eric, he makes the point that this led it to being unexplored, perhaps because obviously people that explore things are people who are, in an academic sense, are in university, and they're maybe, and they're certainly back in for the previous 100 years before maybe the last few generations, where before that, where a third level education was kind of very difficult to fund, meant that people that were economically challenged wouldn't be exploring things, and that would mean that like broad appealed mediums such as comics may be less explored than others. But I do think that it has received plenty a lot of attention in the recent decades, and perhaps the other kind of more broad appealed literature has gotten more attention, and you would imagine that the same will happen with comic books and other image-based entertainments as we continue to move into a very increasingly multimedia-centered society. So if you think of Twitter and Facebook and memes and internet entertainments, I mean, it's only a matter of time before those become established kind of academic areas of study as well, in the future. Even though it's still early days for them, relatively speaking, it's very early days. I mean, you've only just getting off the point there a little, but I suppose in 20 years ago, you didn't really have much of an internet culture as such, in terms of anything established, is all very new. I mean, like now, it's becoming more and more established. It's certainly becoming more and more part of society. So the entertainment side of it is certainly going to be more discussed in terms of writers and thinkers about it and the way that it works. So in slide five there, we see that the writers themselves were not often of means, like as is the case with writers. De Rerik says that by Kunzel's account, most of the artists struggled economically and had a lower middle class mentality, like many of the characters in the comic strips. With rising demand for their work in the expanding periodical press, some did well enough by the mid-century to live like the bourgeois, but most continued to chafe at their relative lack of status and power. And I suppose it is reasonable to think then that the writers that write from that demographic are naturally going to be satirizing the rich and champion the undervalued sections of society, if you think about that. So we can kind of imagine how some elements of satire and that became kind of established tropes of comic book writing. In slide six, then, Rerik writes that Kunzel has no difficulty making the case that the audience for comic strips greatly expanded in the 19th century, as primary education spread and working people did gain some free time due to industrialization, I suppose. In his view, the majority of that audience was made up of the barely literate lower classes, not yet including factory labourers and the lower middle class, especially youth. They included whole families, children of all ages. It is important to note then that comics drew in children, which we would not be able to read, but could still appreciate comic art as it was then. So Arira continues, beside extrapolating from those rare cases, Kunzel deduces lower middle class readership from the content of the comic strips. So common themes of these picture stories, if we want to call them that, included social climbing and being put back into place, run-ins with policemen, hostility between peasants and bourgeois, travel and tourism. Kunzel offers, this is from a review, of course, this is a review of Kunzel's book, offers insightful, sometimes provocative commentary on the symbolic meanings and the social history involved. He does the same for the many satires of dentists, the military in Germany and France, artists, scientists, lovers, and politicians. In such stories, Kunzel emphasizes lower middle class readers found depicted their own hopes, fears and disappointers, he says. So it's just kind of interesting to think of that the satire was not always kind of governments. It could be satires of upper class or middle upper class people, because the artists may not be so of means at that time, which is, it's interesting to think of that they were kind of focusing on the other kind of side of society. So now on slide 7, we get some contemporary background on writing comic strip form from Catherine Roeder, who writes that as graphic novels become more popular, they run a greater risk of being co-opted by consumer culture and losing their autonomy. While I suppose what she means here is that because they become more broad scoped, they may not be as kind of individual or as kind of niche, as it were, if they're going to be more interesting to the broader demographics. While independent graphic novels, she says, are often the result of a single author's vision, a Marvel comic book will likely have a separate author, artist, editor, inker, and colorist. So in this case, whether these comic books are understood as a collaborative project or a Taylorist assembly line endeavor, they moody questions of authorship. So I suppose if you think of a graphic novel, it's often one author who does the drawings, does the story, does everything. Whereas with a comic, you have, as you can see from the Dennis the Menace comic strip, you have an author and you also have an artist, and they kind of work together. The author is the story, but the artist emphasize it, like embellishes that story. So as mass cultural products, comics often espouse dominant cultural values, yet their conflicted status as devalued low art also encourages a strain of anarchic humor and anti-authoritarian sentiment. This tendency is a major component of American comic history and can be spotted everywhere, she says, from Thomas Nast's biting satires and George Harriman's dadesque comic Crazy Cat to present pop present day cartoons like The Simpsons. So comics do kind of represent cultural values, but the fact that they are kind of seen as kind of being a bit less sophisticated, shall we say, is also kind of the reason for its, as you can see in Dennis the Menace, that anarchic humor and the anti-authoritarian sentiment. It's interesting in that particular comic strip that Dennis and his dad become kind of almost both kind of on one side of the fence, whereas the gran is kind of more of the authoritarian figure, and you would often think that the father and the son, that would be the division. So that's very, very interesting. Okay, so on slide 8, let's have a quick look at the comic strip format. So some of you may already know about the CELTX app. If you haven't already downloaded it, it's a free app. I don't have any connections to them, but I do use it. And it's a free program where you can write radio, TV, film, and comic books. Apparently, you can also even use it to write a novel. But it is very useful for putting all the elements in your comic strip in the script in the right place. It is a slightly different process to writing for theatre or for TV or film, because naturally you're working with frames of images against the narrative. So when we write the text in the comic, you normally, unless you're multi-talented, somebody else is going to draw the photos or the images. Pictures, I should say. And in many cases, there's also someone to do the lettering. So here you can see on this slide, the panel described. Then there's a caption, which is not always used. And the speech balloons. So you've got the characters there in the center, a bit like the film scripts. If we look back at the introductory course. You can see the way it's similar in that sense, but of course all you're doing here is just describing one frame rather than with a film where you're talking about innumerable frames. You're just talking about one frame in the comic. And so let's now move on to slide 9 and think about the factors of writing for a comic. So you must remember we are working with one framed image, as I said. Usually it's a frozen moment in time, which tells all or part of a story. So you should, in this situation, really minimize the speech balloons as best you can. And kind of because, as I've said earlier, that the it's not like an illustrated book where the illustrations kind of complement the story. The illustrations actually tell the story as much as the lines do, as you can see there in that particular example. It's just three images, and it kind of tells you kind of a story. It's a humor story. It's a nothing story really. There's nothing to it, but at the same time, it's kind of enough to work as a narrative. So those captions, of course, are incredibly influential as well. They really, really can make a huge difference to the way that framed image can affect the receipt of the image. What you put in the caption, it can affect the pace. It can affect the tone of the story as well. So the caption can affect numerous things. Also be aware of the and the style as well. The style of the story can also be affected by the way you use that caption. So it's incredibly influential. And of course, the way that you sequence those images has a huge lot to do with the way that story is going to be received. Right, moving on now to slide 10. The possibilities. Let's just recap on the possibilities there are for the comic script writer. Obviously, comics, comics are what you think of, I suppose, initially. In the 1950s, for example, The Dandy was selling 2 million issues a week in the UK, which is an extraordinary number. Sadly, that popularity of that comic and many comics like it have completely dwindled. And this week's example, reading the Beano, or Beano as it is known now, is the last of those. The Dandy dwindled down to a web comic a number of years ago, and I believe it just appears now as a seasonal specials. And some of the characters have appeared in the Beano as well. There are such as Crazy Cat or well, Desperate Dan for one has definitely appeared, and I believe Banana Man was in the Dandy initially and is now appearing in the Beano, in this week's Beano actually. So there are outlets in of comic strip writing, of course, in graphic novels. For example, if you think of the globally successful zombie series, The Walking Dead, which started off as a graphic novel and then became a TV series. And of course, satire is often used, as we said earlier, both in magazines and in newspapers. And of course, in the newspapers, you may also see such things like handicap. Funnies, I suppose, would be what you could term them as. And they're just kind of often just three frames. There was another one called Striker, which told the story of a footballer, and every three images would just tell a kind of a story that would keep you on the hook for the next day. So it was a really interesting and enjoyable form of storytelling, which I used to practice when I was young, where you'd have kind of three images, and that would tell a kind of a story that would keep the reader wanting to come back the next day. And do think of other types of image-based writing in text form, of course, with the internet now. Images and story are becoming more and more together, I think, and in the future, something we'll look at and keep looking, monitoring as we go on as writers. Okay, number 11 there, this week's reading. I want you to think of the way images contribute to the narrative effect, the way the story is told in such a compressed space, the use of speech balloons, the use of captioning, and any other elements you notice that are specific to this particular medium of of creative writing, which will help you hopefully deciding whether it's whether it's an area of writing that you might like to pursue. Okay, so moving on now to the next slide, which is slide 12. And forgive me, but if you have been a good student and a good writer, a good participant, and you've already completed your feedback form, very well done, thank you. You can enjoy your exercise. However, if you haven't, this would be just wonderful if you could go back now and fill it out and email it on to me. It really, really helps, and it's actually we really need them to help us provide future courses and to improve the overall experience for writers, including if you do other courses with us, that you'll enjoy them more because we will be using the feedback. So if you haven't done it, do please try and go back and fill it out and email it to info@martinkeaveney.com. Shouldn't take long, it's only a short, it's only one sheet, it's just a few tick boxes and a few lines on your experience. That's all we're looking for. Thanks very much. So moving on then to the actual exercise tonight. What I want you to do is get out your writing materials now, and I want you to try and tell a story in three frames. Okay, so don't worry about your artistic skills. Just try to draw stick figures if you want, or a little more than that if you can. Spend a little time on it first and try and make as much use as you can of the three images. So you've only got three images, and the images must tell a story like they did in that earlier example, to an extent. And try and maybe make more of a story out of it than that than they did. Try and create an interesting narrative, an interesting plot from three images. If you want, it can be something that will make the reader come back for more, or it can be just a standalone story. So spend about 10 minutes on that. Okay, number 13 is the workshop, and number 14 is my congratulations to you. You have completed Creative Writing Intermediate. Well done. If you want to do some revisions to your final project, after the workshop last night, we need to have it in by the deadline on the slides for feedback within the specified time. And we'll aim for that editorial response as marked out on the slides. And then on slide 15, just wanted to tell you that there will be new opportunities, as you can see, they're coming up in the future, further courses. And so do stay in touch. Hopefully they'll be of interest to you. But do also tell others if you did enjoy the course, and if you have any issues with and if you had any kind of suggestions or remarks, put them into the feedback form, or do let me know if there's anything that I can do to ensure to increase the level of enjoyment and usefulness of my creative writing courses. Thanks very much for taking part. Do keep in touch on info@martinkeaveney.com. Thanks very much again, and I do want to wish you all very, very best of luck in whatever direction your future writing takes you. Thanks a million for listening, and the very best of luck.
Produced with Audacity and Martin Keaveney Creative Writing. Music track Dorkboard by Alexander Nakarada, SerpentSoundStudios.com. Please note this recording is for your personal use and should not be shared or published in any way. Martin Keaveney Creative Writing 2020.